I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Fox News alert now. Three innocent Israelis murdered and 11 more hurt after terrorists with ties to Hamas opened fire at a Jerusalem bus stop. And moments ago, two IDF soldiers injured when terrorists rammed a car at a checkpoint in the West Bank. All this as the so-called ceasefire slash pause deal is extended one final day, perhaps. Tal Heinrich is a spokesperson for the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, joins us now. Tal, great to see you. First off, you just said you wake up and you find out about these two random attacks. Your thoughts?
It's terrible. That's the terrible reality of hatred and violence that we're dealing with. One attack in Jerusalem, three people were killed, as you said, dozen more injured. Luckily, it could have been much worse.
It could have been much worse. Question, riddle me this. When is a ceasefire not a ceasefire? That's when one side starts shooting again, isn't it? And this shooting, this attack at a bus stop going after civilians by Hamas once again, carrying out whatever killing orders they want and choose to activate. At the same time, Israel is granting another day of ceasefire or pause and chance to get maybe another 10 or 12 hostages. This constant drip of hostages is critical, obviously, to the families that have their loved ones being held by Hamas. I don't want to diminish that aspect in any point. But, of course, Hamas really doesn't care about them, nor the Palestinian civilians, and they're going to continue to do the ceasefire as they see it, and that is, we can shoot, you can't. Thanks for joining us. Here we are, November 30, 2023. First hour of Larry Connors USA, 2 hours back-to-back, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. And remember, when we're on the air, we are streaming video for you at Newstalk STL Facebook and Twitter. Also, Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter. And on Rumble. We're available everywhere. And if you miss anything, you simply go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull it up, watch it, listen to it at your pleasure, and then please share it with others, would you? Spread the word around. All right, before I continue with more on the latest Hamas attack, first, some housekeeping. Mea culpa. It's all on me. I could ignore this and just act like it didn't happen, but I know it happened, and astute listeners are certainly aware of it. I'm going to have to just confess to you right here. The best next thing is just take a razor blade and slice the wrist right there. It still won't make up for what I did. What did I do? Let me see. What kind of excuse is going to come up with? I've got the bottom line excuse. I'll come to that in a moment. But here's what I did yesterday. Not once, but twice yesterday, I talked about the debate between DeSantis and Newsom as scheduled as last night. No, it was not last night. It is tonight. I'm pulling stuff together. I have things I book well out, and sometimes I've had them in files, and I just grabbed it, and I went with it. I didn't even double-check anything. Very poor, sloppy journalism. I'll admit to that. And my last and the very best and constant excuse is, I'm an idiot. There. Done. Boy, did I think about later that. What were you thinking? You weren't thinking. That was your problem. But the debate is for tonight. They're calling it, of course, on Fox News with Sean Hannity. We'll be moderating it. They are calling it the red state versus the blue state. Because DeSantis and Newsom are not running against each other. They might someday in the future. They're running against each other in the primary right now, obviously. One Democrat, one Republican. And neither one is going to be facing each other in this coming general election. You know, there I might have made another slip. We don't know what will happen before we get to that general election. So that could come back to haunt me. And again, my fallback excuse, I'm stupid. Okay? We've got that established. All right, back to this issue with Hamas breaking this peace deal by simply two gunmen rolling up on a bus stop where there are nothing but civilians waiting on a bus, and they jump out and start opening fire. Now, the Israeli spokeswoman said, this is this kind of stuff we have to deal not only just in Gaza, but that's why we worry about other parts, like in the West Bank area.
We will finish the job. Now, we agreed to this outline upon which for every extra 10 Israeli hostages that Hamas would release, we said we will give another day of humanitarian pause in the fighting. And for that, and we also prepared the list that you're talking about of Palestinian prisoners who were involved in terrorist activity that we are willing to release. But once Hamas stops releasing more hostages, we will stop the pause. We will resume the fighting. Hamas must be gone.
How do you feel about our Secretary of State sitting in with your war cabinet, war officials, which just happened?
You see, we're in lockstep with Washington about the goals of the operation.
Are you taking orders from us?
We are a sovereign country, as you know, but there is no daylight between Washington and Jerusalem. It's important to understand here because we all want to see Hamas gone. We all understand that all hostages must return home. There are 145 more in Gaza as we speak right now for what? More than 55 days now. And everyone understands that Gaza can no longer pose a terror threat to Israel.
When she said there's no daylight between the U.S. and Israel when it comes to Hamas has to go, and there's no daylight in the sense that we want all the hostages back, she's very astute and very good in the sense of not directly answering, but we're not going to take orders. She did say we are a sovereign nation. And Biden has said, well, we're going to let them do what they do. But ever since, he's been sliding and sliding. I'm looking at a piece from Politico, which was referred to in that interview at one point, and I'll get to that in just a second for you to hear the response. But the Politico is pointing out that over the weekend, there were several U.S. officials on various news outlets hinting, as it's written in Politico, but not outright saying, there would not be a shift in the administration's Israel policy. Now three U.S. officials say Biden won't restrict support for Israel anytime soon. That's kind of like my so far. He will not restrict support for Israel so far. So again, anytime soon. That nuance is bigger then the words appear, like in the mirror. Items might be closer than they appear. One member official stated that Biden's remark in response to a reporter's question was less about siding with progressive sentiment and more a window into his private frustrations with Netanyahu. Biden has been largely critical of Bibi for a long time and almost openly. In fact, over Thanksgiving, apparently he told some confidence that the prime minister of Israel, our greatest support in the Middle East, if not the only, could be a challenging partner. And Biden says, I don't think, or according to the source, for Politico, I don't think Netanyahu has always been focused on the hostage. In other words, suggesting that he's more worried about his leadership going forward. That is a legitimate issue. Because the attack happened on Netanyahu's watch, there are a lot of folks blaming him directly. That still needs to be played out, but right now you're in the midst of a war. You don't change horses in midstream. It's as simple as that. But then the statement by Biden, in the sense that what he believes maybe Netanyahu is a good or difficult coalition, Senator Chris Coons, Delaware Democrat, stating, and he's one of the closest friends Biden has in the Congress, he said, there are conditions that are already attached to our aid to a wide range of countries. So we're making a big basket. But the egg in the center is Israel right now that needs to be protected. So Politico raised the question, and I want you to hear it as it's posed to the Israeli spokeswoman, that maybe the U.S. is trying to tell Israel, you do it our way or we're pulling money.
We don't want to see civilians caught in the crossfire. We are doing our maximum efforts to make sure that they are out of harm's way. Hamas is doing exactly the opposite because that's their method. That's how they operate. They embed themselves in and under civilian population. But we will continue to do what we did in the north. And
providing humanitarian corridors, is that what you're going to do?
Indeed, of course. We don't want to see civilians in harm's way. We want them to heed our advice, right, and go to these safer havens that we have designated for them.
When people say, I hope this ceasefire is enduring, what do you tell them?
Ceasefire enduring? What choice do we have? Do they want us to go back to the October 6th? Hamas says that they will perpetrate the October 7th massacre for a second, a third, a fourth time. We believe them. We want to tell the hostages, Brian, who came back home just yesterday and 2 days ago, that they are safe.
Well, apparently not if they were ending up at a bus station. Imagine that. You're released by Hamas. You get back home and you go to a bus stop to catch a bus to go visit a friend. And you're gunned down in your own country during, quote, a ceasefire. New York Senator Schumer had about a 40-minute speech yesterday focusing on anti-Semitism in the world. Schumer, of course, is Jewish. And he immediately from the beginning said, we need to get money to Israel ASAP, $14.5 billion. And the House leader, Johnson, gave him that bill, but Schumer wouldn't pass it forward because it didn't have money for Ukraine and all the other goody baggies they wanted in it. Schumer's speech was passionate in many ways, but it was also political in what he did not say.
I come to the floor to speak on a subject of great importance: the rise of anti-Semitism in America. I feel compelled to speak because I'm the highest ranking Jewish elected official in America. In fact, the highest ranking Jewish elected official ever in American history. And I have noticed a significant disparity between how Jewish people regard the rise of anti-Semitism and how many of my non-Jewish friends regard it. To us, the Jewish people, the rise of anti-Semitism is a crisis, a five-alarm fire that must be extinguished.
You know, you're probably thinking the same thing I had, and Quentin just sent me a note. He said, this is about 7 weeks too late for that speech. Damn straight. Should have been saying that day one. And then he goes to a next level, which is, again, this is passionate, but failing.
Obviously, many of those marching here in the U.S. do not have any evil intent. But when Jewish people hear chants like "from the river to the sea," a founding slogan of Hamas, a terrorist group that is not shy about their goal to eradicate the Jewish people in Israel and around the globe, we are alarmed. When we see signs in the crowd that read, "by any means necessary," after the most violent attack ever against Israeli civilians, we are appalled at the casual invocation of such savagery. When we see protesters at Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade compare the genocide of the Holocaust equivalently to the Israeli army's action to defeat Hamas in self-defense of their people, we are shocked. And when we see many people in news organizations remain neutral about the basic absurdity of these claims and actions, we are deeply disappointed.
So we're shocked, we're disappointed, but I did not hear him say one time about members of his own party that have been preaching and shouting and in a rally declaring from the river to the sea. He just glossed over them. He did include the news media, basically suggesting they're complicit by not calling out anti-Semitism. But Chuck Schumer, you just can't stand there and make yourself a pillar of righteousness when it comes to fighting against anti-Semitism if you're going to ignore the log in your eye, as the Bible would say. And he did. I'm going to have more on the senator's speech coming up in the next hour. Now, the latest on the Hunter Biden in public hearing. As you know, Hunter Biden has said, yes, I'll respond to your subpoena, but I want to do it in public. I want it in full view of cameras and so forth. The GOP has been saying we really want to have a deposition, not 5 minutes with question and 5 minutes for that, a full lengthy deposition, as the Democrats did twice with Donald Trump. Well, Majority Whip Emmer has his remarks about where we're going with the Biden case.
What did the president know? Well, we know that the president has lied several times already. It's documented about what he knew and when he knew it. It's very likely that the president knew, that the president was involved, and that the president benefited off this. You look now, all they're trying to do in the White House is give you a shiny object to take your attention off of the reality that we've got some serious questions about the president and his family selling their name for a financial benefit around the globe. And our guys have to do their job. They have a constitutional obligation to do the investigation. And they're going to follow the facts where they lead them.
They are going to follow the facts, and they've got a lot of book facts. That is, again, Minnesota Congressman Tom Emmer. Oh, by the way, you want a statement to kind of wake you up? Are you sleeping on me a little bit? Joe Biden bragging the other day, saying, I've got a special code. I could blow the world up. What? What if Trump had said something like that? Do you know what would have happened? The world would have blown up in his face, or tried to. All right, before this hour is over, Louisiana Senator John Kennedy asking a Yale professor a question. This is a Yale professor. The question is funny, and yet it's not. And when the Yale professor did answer, Senator Kennedy's giving her, if he happened to be her professor in class, he's giving her a failing grade, and so will you. Also coming up, did you ever like, be honest, ever like or retweet a Donald Trump tweet? They are coming for you. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930, AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Planning a party with family, friends, maybe a business party. Cafe Napoli has four locations, and each has rooms to fit your needs. But a word to the wise, book early. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. Also get some Cafe Napoli gift cards, good for all locations, anytime. I'll see you at Cafe Napoli.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444. 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
You want to give a unique gift this holiday? I suggest Stolach Whiskey, produced in Missouri. Stolach Whiskey, born of natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Stolach, so smooth. Trust me, you're going to enjoy it. So next time, ask for Stolach. Visit the website, Stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Staying alive, staying alive. We're all trying to do that, aren't we? So I asked you a question going into the break. I've given you a little time to think about it and maybe try to come up with some kind of excuse. Say, I didn't do it. I asked you, did you ever like a Donald Trump tweet and mark it on your Twitter account or on his tweet that he had put up? Or did you re-quote it or pass it along to someone else? If you ever did anything like that, I told you they might be coming for you. Well, here to explain, we've got Federalist, we've had him on numerous times before, Federalist writer Sean Fleetwood. Sean, welcome back.
Good to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I'm looking at this article you wrote the other day, and I'd seen other stories, but I really want to get your take on it, and that is the title, Special Counsel Jack Smith, of course, the one investigating Trump on other cases, wants information on anyone who ever favored or retweeted a tweet by Trump. Wow, that's big.
Yeah, so this was part of a warrant that was issued to Twitter, or then Twitter, back in January. It essentially sought to obtain any and all information you can think of associated with Donald Trump's account. They didn't just want, his IP addresses and ad preferences. They also wanted data on his direct messages and tweets he had sent, even drafts of tweets and direct messages that he had sent. That's what Special Counsel Jack Smith and the DOJ were attempting to acquire from his account. But as we find out in this warrant, which is heavily redacted, by the way, what's revealing is shocking is because they weren't just going after information related to Donald Trump's account. They were even going after, as you mentioned, accounts that were just liking or retweeting posts that the former president had issued from October 2020 to January 2021. So even if you didn't follow Trump, if you blocked Trump or muted him, the DOJ wanted your name or your account on a list that they wanted Twitter to turn over to them, which ultimately they were basically forced to do by a court, and they had to ultimately pay a $350,000 fine because Twitter initially said, no, we're not going to do this. We're going to notify Donald Trump that this is happening. And the DOJ stepped in, and Jack Smith and the special counsel were like, no, we don't want you to tell him because basically it's a threat. It's a threat to the process and the legal process if you were to tell him that we're doing this.
And that doesn't consider it a threat to the American democracy?
Right. And what's funny about this is that the only reason that we're now getting this warrant is because of a lawsuit that was filed by multiple media organizations to attempt to get it. The DOJ and Jack Smith, they never would have released this warrant had that lawsuit never been filed. So that's the level of secrecy that they're trying to withhold here. And as I mentioned, this document is heavily redacted. The information
But it's still going full nuclear. It's a scorched earth policy. Anything or anyone that might have been near him, like, oh, my God, I was standing on the street when a motorcade went by. I looked at him. Are they going to come ask me? What did you think? What were you? Why were you there? I mean, it's all back to everyone that flew in and out of D.C. on January 6th. That they finally admitted the other day, yeah, we are still tailing some of them, and they didn't do anything. They weren't even at the Capitol, but they came in and out of D.C. that day.
Right, and what this all boils down to, as you alluded to, is that Donald Trump is just kind of the figurehead. He's the example that's being made out of. The real target is the everyday American. What they're doing is consistently developing new tactics, new strategies to target the average American, because what we have in our U.S. federal government is not emblematic of the republic that our founders envisioned for us. It's been devolved into this communist-style targeting system that's going after everyday Americans simply for asking questions about their government or asking questions about an election. It's not about protecting everyone, which is the lame excuse that they always use.
Trump has always said, when they come after me, they're really coming after you. And I think this really digs down into a lot of people to understand. Again, this story about Smith wanting information on Twitter users who liked a retweeted post, all basically, as you pointed out, I mean, it was a story back in January that kind of went away, got the warrant then first covered in August, came as part of the court order, as you point out, and it's still heavily redacted, and it basically is still suggesting, and I'm quoting here, and you're in fact quoting Jack Smith, the president, the former president, apparently you told him this would result in statutory cognizable harm because Trump is a sophisticated actor with an expansive platform, suggesting that the American public are Donald Trump puppets.
Yeah, I mean, they view, I think, the American public with more scorn than they do Trump. Just because they know that there's a lot more of us out there who actually believe in the founding principles of, you know, America and in what America was founded on, which is shocking to the DC class. But yeah, I mean, they're definitely after the average American here. It's not about, you know, as I said, it's not about protecting people. I mean, this is kind of the language that they use. If you control the language, you control society and how society functions. And that's really, I think, what they're getting at here. They're using this language like, oh, it's a threat, or misinformation is a threat to the American people. If Donald Trump knows that he's being targeted, that's a threat to the American people. They use this hyperbolic language to drive this narrative that there's going to be violence and danger and anger and chaos if, you know, people's basic freedoms are respected. It's a complete distortion of reality and really Orwellian in a sense. They don't, you know, believe in the American experiment.
We've gone way past 1984, obviously. You're listening to Sean Fleetwood of The Federalist. The other thing about this warrant that demanded information, such as Trump's search history, direct messages, content of all tweets created, drafted, favored, liked, or retweeted, which would include the general public, from October 2020 to January 2021. Now, what judge signs off on such a warrant?
Yeah, I mean, a heavily partisan one. This is
that's right.
Yeah, of course, within the DC legal system, which is really just a stamp of approval for anything and all Democrats. I mean, Jack Smith isn't just, you know, going after his Twitter account, Donald Trump's Twitter account. He also placed the gag order. Remember, in the past several months, he placed the gag order on former President Trump. And that was, of course, rubber stamped by the district judge, Tanya Chutkan, I think is how you pronounce it.
A left-wing Obama appointee, right.
Yeah, of course. You know, who has this extensive track record of partisan rulings. And, you know, so of course, this is the type of outcomes that you're getting out of the D.C. legal system, which is why you have the DOJ so eager to file any sort of case within the D.C. legal system, because they know that barring a Supreme Court ruling, they're going to get the outcome that they want.
Now, the other thing, and I want to go back to, you mentioned in the beginning, but I want to re-stress for folks, because I was asking the question for them as if you ever liked one of his tweets or you quoted it or passed it on. But as you pointed out, Smith wants a list of every user Trump, quote, followed, unfollowed, muted, unmuted, blocked, or unblocked. In other words, if folks got something, I don't want that, I don't like the guy, or I did, I don't know anymore. They're all being thrown into the same bag of hooligans, apparently, based on this.
Yeah, it's almost like I would imagine they're creating some sort of social credit system, basically. Okay, yeah, if you're someone who blocked Trump or who said these mean things about him, oh, you're on the good side. We don't have to worry about you. But if you're someone who is an avid supporter, an average person who engages with his account on a regular basis, you're someone we need to be concerned about.
And yeah, you probably shouldn't have your Second Amendment rights. You shouldn't have a gun. Yeah. That's one thing.
If you go back a couple weeks ago, I think it was in Newsweek, that published that damning piece that basically revealed that the DOJ is targeting Trump supporters and Republicans and conservatives ahead of the 2024 election under this, you know, guise of these people are dangerous, they need to, or a threat to democracy, and we need to be on the lookout for them. That's really kind of all culminating here, is that they are collectively and actively seeking to target a specific group of people who value the founding ideals of America.
All right, so where do we stand in the sense of this Jack Smith, the special counsel, wants all this information? He got a warrant. It's being challenged. But what should the general public expect to happen next?
Right, so this warrant was issued back in January, so we can imagine that they spent the past year collecting this information. We do know that Trump was indicted over the January 6th related stuff back in August, I believe it was, early August, late July. But I think the biggest question, and hopefully we'll find out with more lawsuits and basically forcing the DOJ to turn over this information,
what were they doing? I'm sorry, are you suggesting they've already collected the information, they just haven't made it available to Jack Smith?
Right. So Jack Smith would have been the one, I think, to essentially, you know, obtain the information once Twitter has collected it. I don't know, you know, exactly if Twitter or X or whatever has handed over the information. It's more of like a, step-by-step process where we hand you over some information one at a time, or if it's like we're going to gather it all and then send it over all at once. You know, obviously we don't know any of that, but I think, you know, what we're seeing with Donald Trump being indicted already, I would imagine that they, and it, again, isn't me knowing anything on the inside, this is just a guess, that they would have obtained some of that information already, given that they've indicted him.
Well, again, Sean, excellent piece. Sean Fleetwood with The Federalist, and it is titled Special Counsel Jack Smith Seeking Information on Anyone Who Tweeted or Retweeted Anything About Trump. Thank you again. We appreciate you being with us, sir.
Thank you, Larry. God bless.
You bet. God bless. By the way, Congressman Adam Schiff of California was on MSNBC, and he said, I believe there are hundreds of cowards in the Republican Party who are actually helping the former president tear down our institutions. You cowards and your tweet machines is what he's suggesting. Now, I have some choice words for Adam Schiffless. But coming up, get ready for a good Q&A from Louisiana Senator John Kennedy.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I got an email which brought a smile.
A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beal based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beal, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Vincent's Jewelers has the hottest gift for the holidays. Flexible bracelets. Quality, beauty, starting at just $150. And of course you'll want to check for rings, pendants, maybe watches. I suggest you check the website each day for new items and specials. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. Give Vincent's a chance for your business. Vincent's, locally owned, supporting local charities for more than 42 years. Vincent's, my only jeweler.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
President Xi's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Lit Cigar wins Best Smoking Lounge and Best Smoke Shop in the Riverfront Times Best of St. Louis listing for 2023. That is 2 years back-to-back. Lit Cigar Lounge and its new space in the district just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is for men and women who enjoy great cigars, premium drinks. The website keeps you on top of special events, including live entertainment. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Why do you think that Chicago has become America's largest outdoor shooting range? Do you think it's because of Chicago citizens who have no criminal record, but who have a gun in their home for protection or perhaps for hunting? Or do you think it's because of a finite group of criminals who have rap sheets as long as King Kong's arm?
As long as King Kong's arm. There you have it. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy and his great style of questioning. Why is Chicago suddenly the largest outdoor shooting range? And then begins to offer some possible explanation. I want to come back to him on that in a moment. He's got in front of him in this congressional hearing a professor from Yale. And she is obviously, maybe I shouldn't say obviously, a learned person. She is a doctorate at Yale and therefore also a professor. And so when she's being questioned by the Louisiana senator, she's probably sitting there thinking, hey, look at this hayseed up here acting like he knows everything. And I'm a Yale professor. Did he even get through grade school? Just listen to the way he talks. He's probably one of those deplorables that Hillary Clinton referred to. Now, I'm not saying she said that. I'm just raising the question. Because Yale professor Megan Rainey was being quizzed about the crime in the Chicago area in particular. Keep that in mind. He's talking about Chicago, where they have supposedly some of the tightest gun laws. Some of the latest reports, well, I'm looking at one here that says, actually, shootings and homicides in Chicago are declining as of September a little bit. In 2021, they had 804 reported, a murder rate of almost 30 per 100,000. And then the Chicago homicides, that was in 2021. In 2022, they were up 43% above pre-pandemic levels. And now some of them might be declining because more citizens in Chicago decided, I'm going to go get my weapon. Everybody else had one. Of course, the laws you make to keep people from getting a gun only apply to those who are going to be law-abiding. Thugs and the gangsters, they're going to get their gun, either by stealing yours or using a straw purchase or by whatever means, they will have it. And every one of them tied to any drug activity is carrying. They would be stupid not to. And, of course, many of them come up for these cases. And, again, here's where your Soros DAs come rushing in and say, well, we're not going to bring on the gun charges if you just plead to you were in excess possession of marijuana or you might have been selling something and we'll wipe out the gun charge. So it appears then that they're not really harmful to society. Don't be fooled by that little game that's being played in district attorney offices across blue cities, blue states, and almost everywhere else when you get down to it. All right, let's go back again to Senator Kennedy raising his question of the Yale professor, Dr. Megan Rainey. I'm going to give just the first part of Kennedy's question and then try to jump to her answer. But as you listen to this, you're going to be shaking your head. I'll tell you right now.
Why do you think that Chicago has become America's largest outdoor shooting range?
Mississippi, Louisiana, and Missouri actually have higher firearm death rates. Obviously, there's certain...
What about Chicago?
So I don't live in Chicago. It's not my primary area of research.
You don't have an opinion on that?
I think there's easy access to firearms combined with environmental conditions, lack of great education. There have actually been studies showing that when you green vacant lots and repair abandoned buildings in urban neighborhoods, you see decreases in gunshots, in violence, as well as in stress and depression in the neighborhoods around them.
No disrespect, Doc, but that sounds a lot like word salad to me.
Word salad with nothing good in it. Yeah, if we board up buildings, it wouldn't have as many shootings in Chicago. If we open up more park spaces, maybe we don't build a center that's going to house all illegals. That might be a benefit as well. And she wants to take just the city of Chicago and compare it to, well, the states of Mississippi, Missouri, they have higher gun rate deaths than they do in Chicago. Well, no, you didn't even make it that clear. You just want to take those states and talk about their death gun rates, and all deaths by gun are not homicide. Many could be suicide. Many could be accidental. Some could be a negligent homicide, not intending to kill. But she wants to throw all these states up against just the numbers of Chicago. And we said, well, I'm talking about Chicago. Well, I don't really study that. How in the hell would you be studying anything about gun and violence and not look at Chicago? No, she gets a failing grade. As you know, Henry Kissinger passed away yesterday. Now, there are a lot of different ways to look at Henry Kissinger and what he accomplished. There are a lot of good things, and there are some who are very big detractors. He was a Jewish refugee who fled Nazi Germany with his family in 1938. ends up going to Harvard and graduates summa cum laude. And he also studied political science. And then he played a prominent role in U.S. foreign policy between 69 and 77. He did help pioneer the policy of detente with the Soviet Union, help open relationships with China, engaging with what then became known as shuttle diplomacy in the Middle East in the Yom Kippur War. He helped negotiate the Paris Peace Accords, which ended the American involvement in the Vietnam War. And then he had an international geopolitical consulting firm writing dozens of books, and yet he's very polarizing when it comes to many in American politics. Some consider him to be a very effective Secretary of State, and others condemn him for turning a blind eye to war crimes committed by American allies due to his support of a pragmatic approach to dealing with your enemies. For his actions negotiating a ceasefire in the Vietnam War, Kissinger did get the 1973 Nobel Peace Prize, but there were a lot of controversy about it. Now, that's a general overview of Kissinger. Then you have those that dig a little deeper in and they begin to find flaws. Listen, we're all human. We all have flaws. And if you're going to be in the political arena, they're going to find every flaw they can. And I'm not going to tell you what I'm getting ready to say here that I absolutely condemn nor accept, but I want to share it with you. Part of this comes from an excerpt of Peter Schweitzer's New York Times best-selling book now, Red-Handed, How American Elites Get Rich Helping China Win. And part of it reads, Henry Kissinger, the dean of American diplomats, once confided in a colleague his concerns about the challenge that Beijing would present to the United States. The quote is, when the Chinese don't need us, they're going to be very difficult to deal with. That's kind of come true, hasn't it? And in fact, the article goes on to say, apparently until that time comes, there's no reason not to cash in. And by that, the Peter Schweitzer book continues saying that Kissinger pioneered the idea of cashing in by using the relationship he had forged, serving as America's chief diplomat. Is this a roadmap that Hunter Biden was following? And Joe Biden? I'm asking. Kissinger was a national security advisor to Richard Nixon, later Secretary of State under Nixon, and then again later under Gerald Ford. He had a lot of ties that did help open up China in 1972, when China was basically pushing crappy trinkets and blow-up things that wouldn't work half the time anyway, but they had made in China. Even a U.S. flag, made in China. It's all part of building a trade and trying to help them come out of poverty. But as he said, when they don't need us, they're going to be difficult to deal with. Now, the same book by Schweitzer points out it was Kissinger who conducted the secret diplomacy with the Chinese officials beginning in 71 that led to restoring diplomatic ties between the two countries in 72. As a result, he is revered in Chinese government circles. Kissinger, in return, was awed by Chinese leaders. Apparently, he told the British Prime Minister at one point, I'm sorry, the Chairman Mao, who was over China at that time, was telling the British Prime Minister, Edward Heath, about Kissinger, that Kissinger was, quote, just a funny little man. He is shuddering all over with nerves every time he comes to see me. But at the same time, Kissinger had told Richard Nixon after one meeting in Beijing, no other world leaders have the sweep and the imagination of Mao, nor the capacity and the will to pursue a long-range policy. He recognized the threat over the horizon. He recognized China will be playing the long game, which certainly they have. That was 1972. Look where we are now. And yeah, you might see Kissinger as kind of an odd guy. Mao's remarks that he was shuddering all over with nerves every time he came to see me. You know, yeah, a guy that kind of keeps dancing like, you need to go to the restroom? I mean, you keep moving around. Do you need to go down the hall for a moment? I will say this in closing about Kissinger. He did do a lot, I think, of good for this country and relationship building. But there's still a lot of questions about some of the things and what was achieved, not only for nations, but Kissinger himself. And I do ask again, did he set the blueprint for Joe Biden and Hunter Biden to follow? Now, back to a moment ago, you're hearing Senator Kennedy focus on Chicago shootings and crimes. If you'd asked that question of the new mayor probably had an answer similar to the one he gave yesterday as to why there's an illegal immigrant crisis in Chicago. He said, I inherited it from Lori Lightfoot. And then he went on later to say, in another attack, blaming all conservatives who are simply trying to make black leaders look incompetent. And that's coming up.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone. Or your entire office, Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You know, what we've seen is a very raggedy form instituted by right-wing extremism. Everyone knows that the right-wing extremism in this country has targeted democratically ran cities. And quite frankly, we've been very intentional about going after democratically ran cities that are led by people of color. And their whole motivation is to create disruption and chaos.
Everyone knows that? I don't think everyone knows that. I think you just kind of said that. That is, of course, the current mayor of Chicago, Brandon Johnson. And, of course, yesterday he was blaming Lori Lightfoot for leaving him issues he's having to deal with. And now he says, and also don't forget that those MAGA-type people are out there.
The right-wing extremism in this country has targeted democratically ran cities. And quite frankly, we've been very intentional about going after democratically ran cities that are led by people of color. And their whole motivation is to create disruption and chaos, because that's what that particular party has been about.
No, that is not about creating chaos. And if you're looking for chaos and trouble in cities, I would say the summer of 2020, when all the buildings were burning and all that stuff, that was chaos. Which party was wanting all that to happen and let it slide? But again, he's trying to make his point. Let's go back, let him try to conclude and say we need to stand up to this.
Right, this is the same political party that did not want to accept that President Obama was actually an American. It's the same Republican right-wing extremism that stormed the Capitol. It's the same right-wing extremism that refuses to accept the results of the Civil War. It's raggedy. It's disrespectful. It's mean-spirited. It's an unclean spirit, quite frankly. And so I got you. I got you. I just want to make sure that people understand what we're facing. That's why it's so important that the faith community is leaning in this moment.
Somebody's trying to say, hey, we need to move on to something else. I got you, but we need to lean in and recognize everything from the Civil War to those who question Obama's birth. There are a lot of questions people have. That does not make a conspiracy. But it makes for good politics and noise. And that's what you just got. Noise. Second hour. I want you to hear more of the speech from Chuck Schumer about anti-Semitism. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.